Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Today's Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Since the start of the pandemic, there's been a 300% increase in cybercrime. Hackers are getting more sophisticated, taking advantage of teleconference accounts. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and cybercriminals keep finding new ways to steal identities. You can miss certain threats just by monitoring your credit. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. It's so nice. Check out LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at LifeLock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for Saturday, September 19th, 2020. The show where we play some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. Over 11 years of podcasting, we've sifted through it and we're bringing you some incredible clips right here, right now. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Hey everybody, how you doing, Chris?
I'm really excited, to be honest. I'm looking at our first clip, and it's one of my favorite moments in the history of the show, and we'll get to it in just a little bit. But first, let me remind everybody that there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Now, Gio, one of my favorite games that we've played here, is a game called Is It a Fart? And I love this game, and thank goodness at Jason Jennings on Twitter requested it.
Yeah, it's a great game. I wonder why you haven't played it again. It makes me think it's one of the things you brought to the show and then quickly forgot about.
Well, what it was is we originally had a game called Is It a Vibrator, because we had to come up with a game for a then-sponsor, Adam and Eve. And we thought, oh, it'd be kind of funny if people had to guess if the sound they're hearing is a vibrator or not. And it evolved into Is It a Fart once we did it without a sponsorship.
I feel like there is a potential sponsor there. You just didn't explore the options.
I've pitched it.
Well, hopefully they get reminded to play this again. You see how you're the executive producer?
I would love to. I think we will.
This is Adam Carolla Show 2579. Chris Kattan, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. This is from May of 2019. And this request is from @_ Jason Jennings on Twitter. Let's check it out.
And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
Yeah, I'm late. Your mom's lip got caught in my zipper. # Instablock.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Is James still gone from Twitter?
We need James.
What was he saying? Was there a straw that broke the camel's back? Was it like one thing? Was it accumulation of things?
It is actually the very last Sonny reads a James Wood tweet that we have recorded.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
I could give it away to you.
That got him kicked off.
Yeah. It's easily findable. I don't mind telling you if you want to know.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't mind it. Sure.
Let's pull it up exactly.
All right. We'll give you the rules to, is that a fart in a second?
Rules. Stringent.
There's a sanctioning body. We're licensed in Nevada and California, but not New York yet. They've deemed it too unsafe. So we'll find James Woods and we'll figure that out. We got a Quentin Tarantino thing that I thought was kind of interesting. When is that movie coming out?
I think it's July 21st.
Yep. It's July. I don't know the exact.
Little bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. But boy, nobody looks forward to a Quentin Tarantino movie like The Ace Man. And I don't know if this is his last movie. I know that there's some
movies.
Scuttlebutt about that, but no. All right. You want to do the rules or do you want to find James's tweet that got him? And how does it work? Speaking of sanctioning bodies, like, don't you get timeouts on Twitter?
You get suspended.
You get permanently banned?
His account has been locked for violating the Twitter rules, and in response, he said, screw you, I'm done.
Oh, okay.
The tweet was, if you try to kill the king, you better not miss. Hashtag, hang them all. I imagine it's the hashtag that got him into trouble.
I imagine it's the body of the tweet. If you try to kill the king, you better not miss. People probably saw that as some sort of a dog whistle invitation.
I disagree.
What do you think that is?
Well, I think that isn't that sort of a
who's
internet
the king?
Sort of
is Trump.
Oh, but
who's the king?
The idea behind that saying is like, hey man, you come at me, you better come at me. You know, come
both
correct,
barrels.
or else, you know, if you miss, you look like an idiot.
Yeah, that's what it means. I mean, well, it does mean what it means. Like, if you're going to try to blow up Hitler in the crow's nest and the bomb doesn't kill Hitler, you're getting it. I mean, I think all assassinations and coups kind of work that way. But in this case, the king, you might think of as Donald Trump, but the king might be James Woods.
Right.
That's
thought,
he's talking about him. Yeah. And then hang them all. I don't know. That doesn't feel like a 10. That feels like a 5.
It's not
James
a direct
Woods.
Threat. It's just kind of a, you know, thing
yeah.
to say.
I think they were looking for a reason to get rid of
James
Woods.
An accumulation of things.
Yeah. All right. We have the rules to, is that a fart?
So,
sorry.
Intro first?
Intro.
It's time for, is that a fart?
Okay, so we're going to play you a sound. You have to decide whether or not it is a fart.
Oh.
If it is a fart, and you guess correctly that it is a fart, you will get 1 point. If you guess that it is not a fart, and it's not a fart, you'll get 1 point, but you have an option for two. If you say it's not a fart and can correctly identify what it is, you will get 2 points.
Now, look. I know a lot of people are going to go on the internet and tweet us, and it's like, oh, you guys are ripping off NPR's Who Queefed. And
Terry Gross does that.
And this is not that.
Yeah.
And this is not inspired by that.
I can see you would think that, but it's
right.
Pretty
and it's
totally
like,
different
I'm not going to sit here and say it's not in the same hemisphere,
sure.
But we had thought
yeah.
of this.
Yeah.
Long before, we never did it,
right.
But we were talking about it long before Who Queefed on NPR. Right. That's only been going for a few months now.
It's like soccer and hockey. Yeah, they're
right.
basically
they're
the
sort
same
of the
thing,
same, but you
not.
Can't
There's
accuse the
difference.
Other one of ripping it off. So with that in mind, let's just move forward.
All right, here's your first sound. Is that a fart?
I got to hear that again.
I'm going to hope everyone was a fart.
The hell
right.
was that?
That feels like an animal to me, but could be an animal farting.
I'm going to have to hear that 10 or 12 more times.
Wait, could that be a possibility, an animal fart?
Yeah.
I suppose.
Okay.
And it's had a little Chewbacca in there.
It did have some Chewbacca.
Can I hear it again?
I'm going to say, you guys locked in?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
What do you think it is? Because you can get a bonus guess, a bonus point if you can.
It's an aquatic creature with large tusks, like pulling its head back and yawning, like
okay.
a big
so,
walrus.
So a manatee,
like a,
yeah.
Like a bull walrus or okay. bull okay. seal or something.
I also guess no, but I went with some sort of belt, some sort of, you know, conveyor yeah. belt, something like that.
I said no, and I said a propeller.
That is, in fact, a fart.
What?
It is a heavyset woman in lingerie.
Oh. Farting.
I got a surprise for you.
Oh,
listen
no.
up real close, okay?
Really?
Oh, no. She's turning around.
I've never wanted to not beat off more.
Hey, discipline.
Yeah.
Discipline.
This thing, there's a slippery slope of sexuality that the internet has opened up, which is not helping our society, which is, it used to be really straightforward. Like, oh, look, what do you want? I want slender and a nice bosom and a pretty smile. It's like, all right.
Can do.
All right, fat chicks, hit the treadmill. You better put down that bucket of chicken and hit that treadmill, because if you want to be desirable, that's how you're going to do it. Well, we've figured out that there is a subsection of everyone who likes everything.
Yeah.
And so if you're the chick who could lose a few so she, you could get asked to the prom, double down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Put more weight on.
Lean into it.
There's a market. Not lean, but yes,
right.
Lean into it.
Right.
That reminds me. So like, that makes you think like along the lines of like dial tones or things we're going to have to explain to our children. Like, oh, this was a thing. This is called a dial tone. You'll never know what that is.
Right.
Like, fetishes. No one, what's a fetish
because
anymore?
It's all on the table.
Back in the day, you used to be like, oh, I'm into feet or shoes or, you know, fat chicks, you know, farting on. Like, oh, that's just a thing now. That's just a channel on
Get
YouTube.
Yeah, a fetish will be like,
there's no fetishes.
Well, it's essentially like a podcast or a YouTube channel or a Netflix special. It'll just be like, No, it's not a fetish. It's a small group of people who want to hear a true crime podcast or want to hear a comedy podcast.
Yeah. No shame.
Those, the people who are fans of that, or a YouTube channel. Some guys are tinkerers and they're going to look at plumbing stuff, and other people are going to look at video games about how to game a system in wizard War of Wizards or whatever. But it's not shameful. It's just a smaller group will just break off and enjoy the work of the morbidly obese.
The ultimate fetish is going to be like missionary sex with a slender, attractive woman.
I know.
Oh, pilgrim style?
Yeah, exactly. Like the most vanilla of all.
Oh, you know, Adam Ray pulled twerking out of a hopper, and every white person, all 500 white people in Brea knew exactly what it was.
Yep.
I would consider it mainstream.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, are we all 0-4?
We're all tied
Jesus
up.
Jesus Christ.
Here's our next sound. Oh. Is that a fart?
Man, it went out like a fart.
And like a lion out like a fart?
Yeah.
Easy.
I'm just going to go yes.
I got to hear it another two, three, four times.
That end note.
Yeah.
It finished.
Oh, so you said yes?
I just said yes.
I'm going to say, just based on the background noise, I'm going to say no, it's some sort of industrial extruder. It's squirting something out.
Mm. Yeah, the beginning sounds that way.
Well, it either sounds like a fart or somebody doing a fart, like a hand fart.
Yeah.
But it sounded authentic to me and robust. I will say yes, it is.
That is a PE teacher farting in the break room.
God!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Other teachers are shocked.
If Mr. Sapanzi would have done that at Walter Reed Elementary or Junior High, that would have been awesome.
You've been a hero.
God. All right.
You
so what I do?
One, you guys got one each.
All right. Here we go.
Next up.
Again.
Another one.
I don't know. I'm going no.
But I want to know what it is.
Don't know. I got nothing.
I got to catch up. I'll say yes.
No, I say it's one of those remote little mini boats on the lake.
That is a chihuahua
farting.
Snoring.
Oh. Nice. Okay.
Damn it.
Apnea.
Now, look, NPR, in Who Queefed, yep. Did use a chihuahua, but not snoring.
Queefing. Technically.
Well, I don't want to give away too much,
right.
But because a lot of people didn't hear
episode,
it and want to go back and listen to it. But I'm saying, do not accuse us of ripping off NPR. Hey, Who Queefed?
Yeah, there's a lot of chihuahua videos out there.
Yes, it's a very popular dog. So I don't want you going all Joe Rogan, Carlos Mencia on our ass.
We'll
I just felt like, you know,
I'm being
a little too defensive.
You want to get ahead of it, though.
Right. Here we go. Sorry.
Again.
Okay. There are voices in the background.
Oh. One more time.
There was a John Travolta movie where he played like a Foley sound guy.
That's right. Blowout.
Blowout. He was like out recording at night and like the governor's limo went into the lake. And it was
that a Brian De Palma movie?
Something.
Like he recorded a murder or something, right?
Right. But he was getting sound or whatever, and I heard it. And this is kind of that. It's exactly that.
This might be. Oh, yeah, that's my guess. No, this is from the movie Blowout.
Ironically, Blowout sounds like something you'd do to your Tommy Johns if you let it fly. All right.
How is this game not brought to you by Tommy Johns?
It's super quick.
Yeah, I got a guess.
I'm going to go no.
Okay, I got to go yes because I'm woefully behind.
I say no. I say it's a zipper.
It is not a fart.
Damn it.
It is a balloon.
Oh. All right, what's the score? I feel like Brian's out of it. Also, I don't know what the rules are exactly, but I feel like we should lock in our things. Because otherwise we just go, I'll go the opposite of you because I got to make up some whatever.
Sure.
Write those down.
All right, we're writing down. All right, we got one more?
Last one.
What's the score?
You guys are tied up at two, right?
Tied up at...
Adam has three.
Ooh.
Gina has two.
All right. So we'll write it down. Because otherwise, I'd just guess what you would guess.
Right,
and
I'd
win or lose, I would win. Okay. Once again, I pray it's a fart. I pray it's a fart. Because if it's a barn door, that's fine. But if it's a fart, that's glorious. It's tinny. It's got a weird tinniness to it. That
a lack of fiber.
I don't know. There's a lot of gym coaches out there.
A lot of chihuahuas, too.
If you go to play, you go watch football with Nick Santora, he'll pull his phone out and he has all his farts named.
Jesus
what?
Christ.
Oh, yeah.
He made his own catalog?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great. Me and Sal will just listen until he's done. We won't stop listening.
Oh, are you over there for the live remote? We do it for you?
Yeah, I think we could do it.
Okay.
Give me one more. Hit it one more time. All right.
Okay.
I'm locked in. You in?
I'm in. I'm locked in.
I say yes.
I said yes for one. There was one tell. That does not sound like a fart to me, but somebody's tittering at the end that you would do when you hear somebody make a funny fart. So, yes, it's a fart.
That is.
Oh, wait, but we had to.
A woman in a recliner.
Oh.
Period.
Steve, man, that dinner was so great. Yeah. I'm going to sit in this chair and recline for a little bit.
Okay. I was going to say plastic on plastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have guessed a cooler.
That accounts for the giggle.
An old cooler opening.
Did any of us really win?
No.
Outro.
That was Is That a Fart?
And that, one of my favorite games, Is It a Fart? So good. We are going to play it again, especially now because AJ Benza just texts me random farts from his, I believe his nephew.
I remember those. Those were great.
We've mashed them up before with a Yamaha motorcycle.
But the texts haven't stopped coming.
Oh, no. Every time AJ comes in, we'll explore some farts. Maybe we play with him next time he's in.
It's funny to think really about that. There's like bits and things happening with guests, and like they're still sending them to you. And meanwhile, you're like, I can't use these for anything. So you just have a collection of AJ Benza's nephew's farts.
And these are long files.
Yeah.
They're long.
Hopefully there's good labeling. We all know how important that is.
Yeah, they're long, rich files. All right, before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody to please check out Tommy John. All right? The secret to staying sweat-free right now is Tommy John's ultra-breathable underwear and bras. And that cool cotton, right?
Cool cotton is like a personal air conditioner. If you're going to wear any fabric, you can get away with the second skin. You can get away with anything because they're such good material. But that cool cotton, it really does cool you down in these intense summer heats.
Yeah, it's made from premium natural Pima cotton for enhanced airflow. And it evaporates sweat super fast. They also got lounge pants, lazy day joggers, and soft tees ready for your Zoom meetings. They look good, so you can wear them. Polos too. Upgrade to Tommy John today with enhanced super breathable designs, and make sure when you do, for a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/classics. Get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. All right, let's move on to another clip. This one from 2014, featuring the women from the Ask Women podcast, Kristen Carney and Marnie Kinross.
Adam Carolla Show 1296 with Allison Rose and Brian Bishop. This is from April 2014. Kristen was a little Twitter news storm this week, so it was kind of like, oh yeah, she kind of works for Carolla, so let's Carolla Drinks. Let's bring her on and play one of her clips. This is the first time she was ever on, back in the Allison days when they were interviewing her as part of the Ask Women podcast. Pretty good episode. I thought we'd check it out.
Well, thank you so much for rejoining us. Oh, we have a question. We have tire size questions. All right, let's get to that real quick. What are tire sizes?
All right, so your guesses for Brian were 17, 225, 45, and 17, 235, 40. Brian has 18, 235, 45.
Oh, I missed the rim by an inch.
Correct.
Fuck, he's got a better rim than you, and you got a Mercedes, baby.
I know.
Mm. All right. Allison? Same size all the way around, or she got
nope.
265 in the rear?
They're 245 40s in the rear, and they're 225 45.
Oh, you bastard. You just checked the rear last time.
Yeah.
We could have just asked our guests.
Shit.
Wait, what does this all mean, besides I have a lot in my rear?
No, you got junk in your trunk. About? You're fine. It's car tire.
Oh, okay.
It's a hot car tire talk. Marnie Kinross is here. Kristen Carney as well. Together, they make up Ask Mommy the podcast.
Ask Women.
Oh, Ask Women.
No, no, no. Please,
that's
no.
For later on down the road.
Oh,
it's our next
Ask
adventure.
Women. Marnie's pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah. How far along
are
you?
A child. 7.5 months.
Was that, let's see, we weren't last time we saw each other, right? Or
actually, no. Drew was scaring me about not being able to get pregnant because I was trying to, and he was talking about how hard it is for women who are over 30.
Drew's
and
a
I was
dick.
Internally freaking out. Yeah.
This
yeah.
is his fault.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's I just him, tried huh? harder after I left here.
So you're able to do it?
I did it once, and I got pregnant. It was very easy.
You went the natural
yes,
route.
Yes, I did.
Oh, good.
I did.
Okay. And, sorry, due date. So where were we? 7, you say it was?
So June 4th.
June 4th.
Yeah,
all right.
It's really soon.
Names picked out?
I think we're going to go with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Based off of the movie, obviously.
Right. That's the only reason.
Oh, yeah. You got to rethink that a little bit now.
It's a little less
I took
luster.
That as a sign.
Oh.
That no. was the correct have
you,
name
have you
for
seen
my
the
child.
Movie?
No, I
it won't
not.
Be a sign.
The kid's going to be long and boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, let's hope, right?
And controversial.
Kinda goofy.
Super cool poster, though, to put up in the kid's room, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he's like,
know?
That's me.
Yeah.
I think
if
that's
you think
fine.
About it. I'm sorry, the podcast, yes. Where can we find that? Let's see, iTunes, where?
Yeah, Podcast One.
Podcast One.
Called the Ask Women podcast. And we provide advice to men about women on how to attract, date, seduce, and get with women without being douchebags.
All right, what's the, give us two do's and two don'ts.
Two do's? Okay, mm-hmm. The number one do for anybody, men or for women, is always go after what you want. Because if you reject yourself, then you're missing out on every opportunity. So let women reject you and let men reject you. So if you see a woman that you want, approach her. If you don't know what to say, who cares? Approach her anyways so that you don't miss out on that opportunity. Mm-hmm. A don't is don't be a wimpy guy who doesn't ask for what he wants.
So go after what you want.
Yeah.
But is there such a thing as going after what you don't want?
What
do you
mean?
Is it man or woman? I mean, there's, I don't know. There's some women that keep picking the wrong guys.
Oh, yeah,
and they're not
definitely.
Really what they want, but they
don't
think
be a one-upper, like I said before.
They think they should be with that guy, but it doesn't work out. Or
well, it's
you
funny.
Know what
we
saying?
Had Chris Gore on our show yesterday, and he was talking about how he continuously dates the same woman over and over again and mm-hmm. is not happy. He's very happy in the beginning. He has great sex. It's fantastic. It's wild. It's passionate. But ultimately, what he ends up with is not the woman that he wants to be.
It's kind of like the definition of crazy where you keep doing the same thing over and mm-hmm. over. We get a lot of listeners like that.
Yeah. And so the thing is that if something's not working for you, you have to switch it up and change it up so that you get what you want.
And what is so go after what you want.
Okay, go after what you want is one. Another mm-hmm. one is about conversation with women, because that's a huge question that we get on our show all the time. How do you talk to women? Mm-hmm. So I tell them it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. Because mm-hmm. Allison was on our show, and I think we talked about this, actually. But it's about women need to feel you, feel who you are as a man, feel your character, feel that you can be a leader. So it's not about the words that are coming out of your mouth, it's about the character that you're presenting to a woman. So you could be saying, you know, like the best panty dropper line given to you from the top pickup artist in the world, but you could be mm-hmm. saying it, not making eye contact.
Wait, is armed mystery?
Yes,
with the aviator goggles on
and yes. the big floppy hat.
Mystery.
If you
flare.
Name yourself mystery, you become anything but a mystery. Like you're so transparent at that point.
There's a couple guys I miss. He's one of them.
He hit on me when I was at my first ever.
That doesn't
pickup.
Sound surprising.
Consider
but
yourself.
I was the
honored.
Only girl at the pickup artist convention that was there, so we had to prove it to people. But he totally had me engaged. He
really?
Yeah, he picked me up. He looked over me and said, "You're short," and I said, "You're tall." We had a banter for a
he
little bit.
He nagged you.
He had
you
totally nagged me. Had me in mystery and his unitard that he was wearing. Oh, and then he pulled me over. We sat on a couch for 2 hours. We bantered the entire time. It was fun. I was totally turned on by.
Wait,
him.
So he has a dazzling personality or something?
He does.
He has some kind of charisma. Despite himself, because yes. I'm blown away.
He does. He does have a charisma. It most of it is a routine for him now, but it seems very natural the way that he does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it his confidence?
Yeah. He just, I mean, it's just the way that he talks to you.
But there are certain people like me, though, who would never, ever in a million years be tricked by him.
Maybe
ever.
Not.
No matter how much
charisma
he has.
Wait a minute.
No, it's true.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Tricked. Why is it being tricked?
Because
maybe
it's a manipulation. A lot of these pickup artists are using manipulation. I don't think we really teach that at all. We mm-hmm. teach just right. more how to connect with people naturally. So that stuff weirds me out.
Well, the thing is that a lot of these pickup artists use something called neurolinguistics programming, which, mm-hmm. as we were talking about it on our show yesterday, you can use that for good or use it for evil. Like,
yeah, like, hi, how are you doing? Please fuck me. Yeah. Anyway, where are you
exactly.
going? It's like the Kevin Nealon thing.
Exactly. That's right. It's like providing, they're called anchors to other individuals, of giving them anchors that will tie that emotion that they're feeling at a time to you. So they always want to have that connection.
Those anchors to me just feel like a rope, though, and handcuffs.
Yeah.
It's a little dark.
So do we get any don'ts? Where's our don'ts?
Your don'ts are don't end up in the friend zone. Because you don't ever want to be in the friend zone. I believe that
it's the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the wimpy zone. It's like, what is it called? Purgatory zone.
What does that mean, though? Because I have said before that I don't really believe in the friend zone. Like, I think that if two people are meant to be together and they hang out a lot, eventually they will be. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, they will be if something happens.
And that's also a mutual shared feeling.
Right.
A lot of the time, the guy has the feelings and the girl doesn't have the feelings.
Right. So I actually think that the friend zone is really the fake boyfriend zone, because that's what the guy's doing. He's not acting like her friend. If he was really her friend, he'd be farting in front of her. He'd be teasing her, challenging her,
ideally.
Calling her out. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully that would be happening.
What about the women who perpetually like the notion of somebody being fascinated and attracted to them? And
what
that mean? The women, it's a younger woman's thing, but they're the women who know that this guy or that guy's into them and has a crush on them. But they also know that guy's shy and he's not going to do anything about it. But they like the idea that there's this person, this satellite that sort of orbits mm-hmm. around them that is always attracted to them.
Yeah. That was my teenage years.
I was that satellite.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Reminds me of the Guster song, Satellite. Anyone? Guster fans?
Oh, yeah.
Tony Dawson were here.
Look at the poster behind me. I got the best of Guster playing in my Jag right now. So far, by the way, as it says in small print underneath the best of Guster. But either way, they're women, and I don't think they're guys. I don't think there's any guys that are wired this way, or many guys that are wired this way. But women like the idea that there's a guy out there that's attracted to them, that will pick them up from the airport, that will shower them with compliments.
Yeah, wouldn't you like that?
No, I don't.
But I'm saying, wouldn't you like that type of attention?
I know. I would
really?
Find no. You know why? Because I would feel obligated.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would feel like the
obligated.
Chris Laxamana just stormed out.
Oh, sorry, buddy. We've done a lot of traveling together. It's true. But no,
Chris, you're in the friend
I would
zone.
Feel. I mean, there's. I don't want someone to be attracted to me that I'm not attracted to because it feels awkward and one-way street.
You worry you're leading them on.
Yeah, and it's just a waste of their time.
But it's like having credit card debt. It just, you know it's there, it weighs on you. But these are the guys that are in the friend zone. Those are the friend zone guys.
But you're also saying that because you're both in relationships. Like where it doesn't feel nice to have that type of energy around you.
Even when I wasn't, it was neither here nor there. Like either you wanted to have a relationship with somebody or have a physical relationship with someone or not, that just someone to make you feel attractive because they're attracted to you felt like neither fish nor fowl.
Well, I would say that when I was
a little more fish.
When I was younger, that's who all right. my guy friends were, but that's not the reason that I hung around them. It was a bonus that I knew in some way if I did want to be with them, I could potentially be with them. So like one week I was like, maybe I'll try out this person and see if I could potentially have a relationship with them or if I could make out with them or if I could be sexual with them. And then that feeling would go away and I might concentrate on another friend. But we always had the base of what I perceived as a friendship. But typically on their side, for a lot of the guys that we work with, it's not really a friendship because they want a lot more, but they're just not asking for it.
I have this theory that women, more so than men do it as well, but women, when they're younger, they'll be in a relationship and they'll have that guy that Drew and I used to say is just sort of waiting in the bullpen.
Yeah.
It's the guy at work who they know has a crush on them because they just know. The guy hasn't asked her out because he knows that she's in another relationship, but she just knows intuitively and through a bunch of whatever body language and stuff.
Right.
This guy's just ready. The first weekend she's single, they're going out.
Oh, for sure.
And as soon as she's emotionally secured that guy, she'll then say to her boyfriend of 13 months where it's not moving anywhere and it's not going along, like, hey, you know what? I'm out of here. I've had enough. And then next weekend, out with that guy.
Yeah.
And then the first guy's like, you've been cheating on me. And it's like, not technically,
right.
But I knew this guy was lined up and ready to go in the batter's box.
Is it a study on OkCupid or something that was saying that most, I forget what the percentage of women is, but it's a lot of women usually have somebody waiting in the wings. They don't break up with their first relationship until they know they're secure with another guy to like lead them out of it. So I completely agree with that.
Where for men, it might be the opposite, which is I want to go on a fuck fest.
As they should.
I don't want one person on deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes there's the chick I work with, but oftentimes there's just I want to be single and just fucking.
No, she can play along too. She can get in line.
Oh, yeah. That's
no, I wish both men and women did that and had that grace period in between.
Yeah.
Like I wish that women did a lot more things like men because I own the Wing Girl Method, and so it's separate from Ask Women, but it's part of Ask Women as well. So I've been working with men for the past 10 years, and I've learned so much about them. And actually, Adam, we were talking about it last time that we were on the show with you and Drew, how much I respected that you understood so much about women, which I don't think most men take the time to do.
I don't apply it. So just to be fair.
He doesn't
fair.
Have the knowledge base.
No, I have a good general understanding of human beings.
Which is great.
Women sometimes fall under that category. Not always, but oftentimes fall into that category of human being. All right, shall we do a little news? You guys hang out?
Yeah.
Crack-wise, we'll have some fun. Let me give a little love to one of our fine sponsors first. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy baseball fans. Opening day DraftKings, baby. Awarded over $500,000 in cash prizes. And there's way more to come. Our listeners have won hundreds, thousands, nay, millions with DraftKings. Just watching sports, playing a little fancy. Guy named Sam won $100,000. First time out ever playing. Brian, how you feeling, man?
A lot of day games today, so I missed my window. But you know what? I signed up for a contest tomorrow. A lot of full slate of games, so I'm in for my first DraftKings contest of the year.
One day fantasy sports. No season-long commitments. No being stuck with players. Just instant cash every day. Dawson.
Right now, you can play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com and get free entry into next week's contest with $400,000 in guaranteed cash prizes. $400,000. Hurry. Free spots are going quick. Enter Adam now at DraftKings.com.
All right. Allison Rosen, let's do a little news, baby
let's
girl.
Let's do that.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison. Allison.
David Letterman will be stepping down when his current contract expires in 2015. He did not specify an end date, but he said that he expects his exit will be in at least a year or so, but sometime in the not-too-distant future. 2015, for the love of God.
Jeez, when is... Oh, yeah. I was funny because someone was telling me that today, and they said, he's stepping down in 2015. I'm like, all right, he's got a few more years left on his... And I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute.
Could be less than a year.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. That, I've been thinking that that's... I was thinking it was still 2013.
It seems appropriate, though, that he let Jay step down. It was almost like, all right, now I'm the guy that goes out last. It just seemed like
it's like that
perfect strategy.
Survivor competition where right. I have to hang on a rope right. and whatever.
As miserable as you are.
Gets the Cornish game hen to feast on, and then as soon as the one person drops off, the other person drops off. Yeah, the Kimmels and the Fallons and the young kids are coming, and these guys aren't spring chickens anymore, speaking of game hens. And good.
He said the longest tenure of any late-night talk show host in U.S. television history, already marking 32 years since he created Late Night.
Jeez.
I didn't realize it had been that long. Yeah, he's turning 67 next week.
That's wow. Amazing. I thought he was older.
I did, too.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he had, like, a major heart issue 10 right. years ago. And when you do that, you go, oh, that guy's
old.
But he wasn't that old. Was that thing 10 years ago now?
Yeah. Feels like it.
I mean, we got to figure out when he had that. All right.
So the...
14 years ago?
14 wow. years ago?
Yeah.
So, really? I remember when he had that.
Yeah. So he was, I don't know, 52, 53.
That's young.
At the time. It is now. Not in 2000. It wasn't.
14 right. years behind you.
Right. All right.
Still not that much conclusive stuff has come out about the Fort Hood shooter yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who killed 3 people and injured 16. Strong possibility that he had had a verbal altercation with another soldier or soldiers immediately before the shooting. He it looks like had history of mental illness, although he had had a meeting with a psychiatrist somewhat recently who didn't think he was a violent danger to himself or others, but he had sought help for depression, anxiety, and other problems. We have a very strong evidence that he had a medical history that indicates unstable psychiatric or psychological condition. We believe that to be a fundamental underlying cause. He grew up in Guyanilla, a town of fewer than 10,000 people on the southwestern coast of Puerto Rico, with a mother who was a nurse at a public clinic and a father who did maintenance for an electric utility company. And his mother died of a heart attack in November. He had been in Iraq but had not seen combat. Mm-hmm. 34-year-old truck driver. That's kind of all we know about him so far.
Sad. Yeah, everyone's walking around. Everyone's nuts. Everyone's got a gun. Mm-hmm. What?
Bad combo.
He
bad
got combo. And he bought his gun at the same place as the 2009 Fort Hood shooter. Although there's not any significance to that other than
I thought he
it's
was
coincidence.
He wasn't in the. Why do you have to buy a gun if you're in the military or he's retired? And what? Don't you get the gun? Doesn't Uncle Sam get you a gun? I feel like we should supply that.
Seems like a parting gift.
Why doesn't everyone else have those guns?
I don't know. I just heard he got it at Guns Galore, which was the same place that Nidal Hassan had gotten his.
That's maybe a really a funny name of a gun store.
Yeah.
Galore.
Really
Galore.
Makes me trust it.
Does Galore mean anything anymore?
I don't like think the meaning of the word?
Yeah, it's just I don't feel like anyone, I don't feel like I hear my kids say Galore.
No.
Very often.
No.
There's going to be no more carpets.
It's just a waste of my time.
There'll be no more carpets galore or, you know, dinette sets galore. There'll be none of that in the future.
Trying to think of if I've ever used that word in conversation. Like, you guys, deviled eggs galore.
No, it's not used. It's only used as it pertains to like party stores and things like that, and patio furniture places.
Yes, places that have blowouts.
Right, and once and it's never used for anything that has to do with books or anything that as it could be that's a little more
or value. Alert.
Yeah, so it's never like cars galore, books galore, anything
caviar
like that.
Galore.
great Bond chick. Caviar galore. She's beautiful, but she's deadly and expensive. It smells weird. And also, since everything is now on the internet, there'll be no more stupid galore names.
The internet itself is galore.
Yeah,
just
it
in
is.
General.
It means galore.
Right.
And there's no. When everything was brick and mortar, there needed to be a galore. Mm-hmm. Now there's no more galore.
You had to imply a huge stock room.
Right.
Like, we have everything you possibly need. Now, literally, the internet has everything you possibly need.
No commercials I missed? The ones where the manager fucked up and bought too much stock and the boss was going to fire him unless he moved.
Overstocked. Everything must go to make room for the spring line.
Yeah, but the guy literally had a little face-to-face with people home on their sofa, which is, I screwed up.
Oh,
I bought.
It was a confession? I never saw any of those.
Oh, yeah.
What, a confessional?
Yeah, the manager bought. He screwed up and bought too much. Now those lounge chairs are going to move at rock bottom prices. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
You ever have too many
galore.
Lounge chairs?
Yeah, the galore.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys find yourself sitting in the majority or all of your furniture? Because I'm thinking
every day,
ever. Like, there's pieces of furniture that no one ever sits in ever in my place,
really?
And there's not that much. Yeah, it's like we never sit in the lounge chair. We only sit on the couch.
I'll tell you what feels good every once in a while. I'd say it all the time. Brian, I hope you're down with me. I know you live on a fairly busy street. Mm-hmm. Take a piss out on your yard every once in a while. Ladies.
Happiest day of my life. The neighbors don't seem to mind. No. The backyard, obviously, is enclosed. So that backyard.
Take a piss out there. Yeah. Let mark your territory.
It gets an equal amount of action as my bathroom.
You're now a homeowner. That's what I mean. Like, every once in a while, just take it in.
100%
really?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, buddy.
It sees as much urine as your bathroom.
Okay, in the summertime, possibly more. In the
winter,
less.
I love this revelation. Now, he shits in the front yard.
Yeah. Yeah. But, not an animal.
Yeah. Now, that's a lot of pissing in the yard.
I love it.
I like it, and it probably confuses shit out of your dog.
Really? It does. He looks
He's like, who is this asshole?
He's like, I get in trouble for this. You can pee wherever you want.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah.
That feels good. So you should go out and take a nice piss.
Christy doesn't mind. She doesn't love it, but she doesn't mind. She's like, ugh, again.
So wait, will you be in the house and then go outside to go pee?
I will. Full disclosure.
That's a good question.
I will often look for an excuse to go outside, like, oh, need to take out the recycling, or need to go change the laundry, or need to go look at the garage door.
Just to go pee outside. That's funny.
No, not just to go pee. To do those other things. And,
it's an excuse.
I have to urinate.
But that's just to pee.
I mean, like, right in the middle of the lawn, or do you find a corner?
There's a corner. There's a corner along the side of the house. It's a hedge. It goes up over my head. Shares the neighbor. I don't mind.
It feels good.
You don't mind.
It feels good.
It feels amazing.
By the same token, you should go to that room in your house that you never go into that has that little love seat or whatever, and sit there on occasion. And for me, I was working on my movie script, and I just went into the part of the room. It's just no one ever sits there. It's the sofas that never get touched. It's always the same place in front of the TV set. Just go sit there and read your thing.
See, I find we have a balcony, and every now and then.
Even better.
I go take a whiz off of it. No, every now and then I'm like, I'm going to go out there with my coffee and my phone and my this, and I'm going to sit there. And then I had the same experience that I do when I'm like, I'm going to draw myself a bath and have some me time. 5 minutes later, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's not so
a little
great.
Uncomfortable. Now what?
Good. Yeah, I've never – the bath thing is – I'm with you.
Some people are so into that.
There's no neck place in the bathtub. Yeah. I find that ruins it every time.
I would rather just take a nap.
They have
– No, I'm a bath person.
My grandmother was a bath person. She had like the four claw tub.
Oh, I love
and
that.
She even had this thing that was kind of crazy for back in the day. It was like a little submergible whirlpool thing that you'd like drop into
the
tub.
Oh, yeah, it would stir the tub, basically.
Yeah, it was good if you threw the Mr. Bubble in there because it'd go berserk. But my mother's gift, my mother's gift to my grandmother once a year was the inflatable pillow that had the suction cups on it. And I remember at the time thinking, that's a sweet, sweet deal. Like, that's a durable good. Yeah. In the Corolla parlance, that's a durable good. Like, that's a nice high-dollar item.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it's a gift targeted to what she's into.
Yeah. Yeah, she got the little, I guess somehow, you know, after a year of use, the old one was, you know, was worse for wear. But the new one every year, that was a big deal.
Let me ask you a question about peeing outside. Mm. In the summertime, for a three-month stretch when barbecues are more regular than not and beer is more regular than not, it's more of a hassle to go inside.
It is.
Well, listen, you're talking to a guy who pees in a sink.
It's a good point.
When I can.
You pee in a sink?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
in your sink?
Not neighbors.
No, yeah. Well,
he would pee in yours.
There's a learning disabled child that lives across the way, and he seems to he'll let me in through the doggy door. Yeah, the peeing outside. I'll tell you my move. I'll tell you the move I like with the pee outside. The had to take a piss for the last half hour on the ride home in the car. Got to go bad. Pull up the driveway. Get onto the property and do that thing where it's like, this is going to be close,
yeah,
and then I go, oh no, it's
almost not.
I'm pissing right here.
That's unique to your place because you have the gate that opens up and you have privacy.
Right,
this is a
can't do that
situation.
In your front yard. Yeah,
I feel really naive because I've always just trusted grass. I've always been willing to walk without
a
dog.
Shoes.
Yeah.
No,
I don't have a dog.
That's
I've always trusted grass.
Not anymore. Yeah, I'll tell you, you should trust lettuce. LETTUCE. They're the number one inventory and order management app for businesses that sell online or wholesale. Automates tracking, inventory, and processing orders. We use them, by the way. We use them for Mangria. It's a lifesaver for us. You can connect your e-commerce store, QuickBooks, shipping carriers, credit card processors. You do it all, and it puts it all together for you. And you can see your orders come in and be processed within seconds on a single click. You can visit LettuceApps.com. That is LETTUCE apps today. You click it, you get it started, you hit the start button, you use the promo code Adam, you get 50% off your first 3 months, no risk. You get a 14-day trial. You can try it for free. Lettuce for free. No questions asked. Lettuce, LETTUCE apps.com. Promo code Adam solves all your order and inventory problems. We use them here. You guys should use them there. All right, let's hear another story.
Well, there was this video on BuzzFeed that I found of guys who complain about their girlfriends, how long it takes them to put on makeup. They were asked to try to put the makeup on their girlfriends to see the results. And we're not going to watch it because it's long, but it's kind of funny. But I just wanted to know, do you guys think that you could, like, Brian, could you put on Christy's makeup for her, on her? Adam, could you do Lynette's?
No.
No.
and I've had a lot of makeup put on me. I'll tell you what I think I could do. There's a couple of baseline things. I don't like to complain about Lynette, but here goes. I really want her to be able to cut my hair. And I don't mean style it. I just mean get the wall clipper out, put the number 3 on there, buzz around the thing, clean up the back of the neck. Just like to kind of, like I say to her all the time, look, I can hang a door. That must be great for you. Because all I got to do is go to the fucking garage and get my cordless drill and zip, 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 and boom, boom, boom. And like, there you go. Done. I feel like you could learn this in like 2 days if you wanted to, and then I wouldn't have to go to the fucking Mexican barber lady on Ventura Boulevard. Like, if I could take my own head off,
you could do it yourself.
I'm pretty sure I could do it, but it sucks because you get those like flyaways and it gets kind of whatever, and then you can't get around the back and you can't see, and then you look in the mirror and everything's backwards. Wouldn't you like a nice, I mean, you're talking about men and women and this, that, and the other. I just stole Lynette's sewing machine because she doesn't know what to do with it, and I brought some shit over, and I got to have my guy Rob sew some stuff for me. Wouldn't you like, upon marriage, like a nice little contract? Like, listen, ladies, you don't have to be a Vidal Sassoon, but you can cut your son's hair up until he's 12. and you can cut your husband's hair, provided it's nothing fancy. And certainly clean up the neck and, you know, buzz around the sideburns and do all that. You can make a stew, and you can put a fucking bobbin in and work a sewing machine. And now, fellas, you're going to have to be able to change that spare.
Yeah, that's a perfect life that you're describing.
Just a basic, like a baseline. I'm not saying that you got to frame a second story on the house. But if the front door, you do that move where you shut the deadbolt and it's not going into the orifice, you can line it up or you can hog it out or do whatever. You can get that deadbolt working. We don't have to open the phone book, call a locksmith to come to the house because the deadbolt is, when you're doing that move, you have to lift the door a little bit to get the deadbolt in. Your hubby can do that.
Yeah.
While he's doing that, you clean up the back of his fucking neck.
It's amazing.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be amazing. My husband won't let me cut his hair. I want to do that.
You're with wrong man.
Have you ever cut hair?
I'd trade in for you. Have I ever cut? I have cut hair. I cut my own hair. So I'm pretty good at it, I think.
What the hell kind of?
And he turns it down, and he won't let me pop his zits on his nose. Which drives me crazy.
Well, that's kind of his really territory. Want. But what about the hair? What's he do?
I don't know. He goes to the hair.
Was he a fucking anchor man?
He goes to a salon.
What's he give a shit?
He goes for like a nice like head scrub and shampoo. He wants that experience.
What's he do for a living?
He's a producer.
Oh,
he's very manly. But he likes some nice things.
Salon.
Exactly. He likes to be treated nicely.
He's a regular lumberjack with that salon trip.
Will you regularly cut your own hair? Because this is one of the things where I was like, I'm tired of spending so much money to just get the ends trimmed off my hair. I've got to be able to do this myself. And I've looked it up on the internet. And then I went from looking it up and thinking, do I dare? To I had this whole flight of fancy where I'm like, what's going to happen when it turns out I'm so good at cutting hair that all my friends want me to cut their hair? I'm never going to have time. What? Turned out I wasn't that good.
You can use that balcony. Like have a lineup of people cutting their hair. Well, Kristen inspired me because Kristen cuts her own hair.
I cut my own hair, but I won't tell people normally in case they'll go, oh, yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Let's talk after the show. I need some tips because I want to cut my own hair.
She's good. She's really good.
I just watched people do it.
Yeah.
I feel like everything is beneath everyone all the time, men and women.
I cut my own hair.
You do a very good job.
In the seventh grade. Yeah, I feel like there's a couple of base things that the guy could know and the chick could know, and that would make things at the house
50 years ago those contracts were signed.
Yes.
They literally
yes.
were.
There were no contracts. It was a tacit agreement,
right.
But it was agreement.
Exactly.
We understood, hey, woman, you can make a stew. Yeah. Hey, fella, you can, you know, mend and patch a roof, and everything will be good. Now it's open the phone book, farm everything out all the time.
Open the phone book to call someone.
Go online.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like...
That was 25 years ago.
cutting your kid's hair, you know, like you're cutting your boy's hair.
Yeah.
Come on. What the hell are we paying for that for? He's six. It's
especially
kind of
when you're
hair.
Using that thing. If that's so easy, you just like go all around the head. That's simple, right?
I don't know why my son needs to go to the mall to sit in the chair and then I have to pay
because you're from LA. I'm from in the middle of nowhere, no one's going to salons.
Yeah,
that's on a rare occasion. So I mean, I think it just depends on where you live.
Fucking hillbilly.
Total hillbilly.
Yeah. All right.
But why don't you try that one time with your wife and say, let's try something and get her like a really good, cool cutter that's pink or something that she would really like, maybe be dazzled from the, you know.
Gifting suite.
Yeah, from the gifting suite. And she could do it. And you say, let's try something. Have a glass of wine. And she's cutting your hair. It could be kind of sexy. Make it a fun experience for her to see that she could actually do it. Because it's probably pretty scary to cut your hair because I'm sure you're pretty particular about what you want.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. You're like, not
particular.
At all.
That's why I go to the Mexican lady and I pay her $10, but she's fucking on the other side of town,
right.
And I have to fucking figure out time when I can go see her. No, I'm not particular. Not. No.
Well, then try that with your wife. It can be fun.
Yeah, listen,
it would.
There's been more than one attempt to get the sewing machine out or get the buzzer out. Just not.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. Right.
But as Marnie says, maybe you just need to make it sexier.
She doesn't need me hanging the front door to be sexy. Like, I'm not like, sweetie, if I'm not getting blown, I'm not fixing this deadline. Like, I
just fix the deadbolt because that's what I know how to do.
It's, well, we talked about this once on our show about how men won't help around the house. Like Kristen was saying, her boyfriend will put the dishes beside the dishwasher but won't actually put them in the dishwasher, and it drives her crazy. And so I had looked up online how to make – home activities fun for a man, and it said like
blowjobs.
Blowjobs was one of them, but then it's like get them the coolest vacuum cleaner ever, like that has lots of lights and buzzing sounds.
But this is for like stupid guys that need
but it's making it fun
a cool vacuum.
But can I say this?
Cool vacuum.
And who's making cool vacuums?
Dyson.
The Dyson guy?
Dyson, yeah.
Okay. It comes to murder, by the way.
Whatever happened to guy who pays for everything and works 80 hours a week wants you to do this? Or do we have to make it cool and fun? Or vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, hey, douche, put the fucking flatware in the fucking dishwasher. I know it's not
you
cool and fun.
With you to yell
just
at your
fucking
boyfriend.
Do it. Right. Like, and do it. Why? Because I told you to and because we're adults. How about that? Or do we have to make it cool and
that's
fun?
That's how I handled it.
I swear.
He's still putting it on top of the dishwasher.
But there's this whole fucking thing, and I think this is part of the problem, where people go, they need to feel like they're included in, or that you're invested. It's like, or they could just fucking do it. Like, you know how much shit I do just because I have to do it? It's like, I don't feel like I'm, you know, this guy needs to feel like he's involved with the process, or he needs to feel like you guys are teaming up to. No, just fucking do it, because I do shit, and now you do shit.
Exactly.
I don't, when I fix the door, and I fix a lot of doors, I never feel like, first, I need to emotionally go to a place where I feel like, as a team, that I'm being supported in order to fix this. No, the fucking door needs to be fixed, so I just fix it. But I'm able to do it because I've done it, and it's no big deal. Why don't we get back to that place? Why the place where everyone has to feel really good or feel like, you know, there's a lot of, I know the fucking psycho speaks. Like, they don't feel like they're being supported in their effort to put dishes in the fuck that.
Right.
Put the dishes in. Fucking 37. Put the fucking dishes in. Let's get on with our lives. Yeah.
Imagine if they had to do that like in the Ice Age or something where like the woman's carving out like a really fancy rock for him to use to make like her bed or whatever. You know, like that obviously
it's
there's no
bed,
utility.
But I understand what
right. Very shitty.
I made you
like
gravel
my bed.
Pillow. Yeah. Out of horsehair. Yeah.
My neck hurts.
No, that's my whole thing. If you ever talk to a psychologist or anybody, they just give you they have to feel like you are support them, or they can't feel like you're talking down to them when you tell them for the 37th time to put the fucking dishes in the goddamn dishwasher. And it's like, that's true with children and special needs children and adults that are severely handicapped. But for the folks that are fairly well educated and adults, how about we just do it? And then we could get the fuck on with our lives. Yeah. How about that?
Well, there's.
I think that would be more effective.
I completely agree with you. But it's funny because you know that certain things are your role. I think in my mind, I know that certain things are my role. My husband probably has the same mentality. So things that I think would be his role, he probably doesn't think they are. So there has to be a conversation.
Why? I realize there's a little gray area, but the deadbolt not working on the front door, that falls under your husband's jurisdiction.
I think so, too.
And when Noah sees his fourth birthday and he needs a little bowl cut,
that's me.
That'll be you.
That kid is going to let me cut his hair. I'm going to take out so much on him that his father's not letting me do.
It's not about the $12 for the haircut. It's about the drive across town and make the appointment thing versus just do it on a Sunday, like in the backyard, like on your own terms.
Isn't there like a little Mexican place around the corner from you? Like, isn't there a closer location?
I moved, so I'm back at my $10 an hour or $10 haircut place. I always give them $20. Makes me a huge tipper. I tip 100% at that
place. So nice.
Yeah, but I'd like to just do it at home. I would happily just do it at home.
Yeah, you know where you can teach Natalia.
Come to your house.
Hmm?
Obviously, you'd have to pay more, but you could have them come to your house.
I know there's all these services that exist.
He just wants his wife to do it.
Feeling is if Lynette, it would take her a day, and then she would do it, and then I wouldn't be that particular. Like, she could fuck it up, but that'd be that. Like, I'd be cool with it. I don't. It seems like a hassle. Like, it just seems like you just do this, I'll do that, and then it'll be easy.
We have a good marriage. It's perfect.
Won't have to get out of the house. Yeah, that's right. All right. Just dropped the sewing machine off to Rob's friend Tom, who's at the other studio. He's going to be sewing up some stuff.
And that was Marnie Kinross and Kristen Carney from the Ask Women podcast dropping some null about the inner workings of the female mind. Now, Kristen also is known to fill in for Newsgirl. She's done it a few times, and she did it in January of 2015.
Adam Carolla Show, 1499. This episode features Maz Jobrani, David Wilde, Kristen Carney, and Brian Bishop. We get a little Maz, we get a little David Wilde, we get a little Kristen's news. Check it out.
David Wilde, good to see you.
Good to see you, here to bring peace to the Middle East today.
Kristen Carney's been on the show a few times. Good to see you again, Kristen.
Hey, Adam Carolla.
Pechanga Casino in Temecula coming up. And also, I'm not sure.
Playing
February 5th.
Just playing some slots.
She's going to be there making change.
Yeah, losing change mostly.
She fills in on Loveline from time to time. And the website, Kristen with a K, Carney.com is where you go. And we've, like I said, had her on the show because she's one of the co-hosts of Ask a Woman podcast. And then there's Bald Brian over there.
Going to go get my taxes back.
Requests still pouring in for Eliza's drop at the hashtag top drop. Ask Women is the name of the show.
Ask Women, yes. But I am a woman. Ask a woman. It works either
way. Sorry. Ask Women. Sorry.
I'm occasionally a woman sometimes.
Hold on. That's my podcast. Ask Women.
The Bald Brian is going to do his American Sniper, Baldywood. I want to talk movies for just a second.
You got notes printed out there about movies. I'm dying to know.
I got movie notes. I was sitting around. Actually, I wasn't sitting around. I was skipping my rope, and I was watching Wedding Crashers the other night.
Solid movie.
Super solid. And then I was watching.
You're a homo.
I was watching Vince Vaughn, and I was thinking to myself, how come it's out of? By the way, these guys cannot be nominated for this kind of work. Because to me, when you watch Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers, you go, who the fuck else could do this? There's only a handful of guys. Owen Wilson's kind of a straight man in that movie.
Right.
But there are some Vince Vaughn scenes that I sort of forgot about, like when he's getting kind of the rub job at the table and you can see his face just sort of contorting. There's no directing that. There's almost no dialogue. It's just him.
He took
his gift.
He took a role that was written one way. It could have been played any number of ordinary ways. He made it very. He wrestled it into a very Vince Vaughn role. He made it completely. It's
over his cliche.
He made it his own, but he made it his own.
Isn't every Vince Vaughn role like a Vince Vaughn role?
Yeah,
he doesn't.
Some work,
some
don't.
Great, but it's
works.
Always Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. I think he's prop. I think he could probably do serious stuff if he wanted, and now he is going to do serious stuff.
I don't think that's fair. Have you seen him in the lead of Selma? He really is a whole
He's
new
that
Vince
dude.
Oh yeah, he really is a whole new.
I couldn't
new,
tell with all the makeup.
The shadings of his work are
sometimes
remarkable.
You forget you're watching him.
Yeah,
I thought
you know it by the bags of his eyes, though. You know it's him.
I thought I could. I thought I'd play you two scenes. One, I actually stopped skipping rope, went and got my wife, and told her to come into the bedroom, and we will watch this.
Had you seen it?
Oh, she'd seen it. I'd seen it. Everyone's seen it. We just hadn't seen it in a long time, and just started cracking. Especially, I didn't get the part where he's getting the handy at the table because it's all sort of physical humor. Just the way he answers
the questions.
It feels
so good to laugh.
it's just excellent. But I thought I'd just play you the part where at the beginning when his secretary brings in the sleeping bag, says it's a little bit weird. Very early on. I'll play you a little clip of that.
Oh, good. You got it. Is it 100% goose down?
Yes.
You sure?
Why do you need this?
I sleep over at John's house every year for his birthday.
Okay, that's not creepy.
I guess it is a little creepy when a young man who happens to be an only child loses both of his parents in a tragic accident 1 month before his birthday and then has a best friend make a vow that he will never spend his birthday alone again. Maybe that would fall under the category of creepy.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
No, you're really sweet. I've got the perfect girl for you.
Janice, I apologize to you if I don't seem real eager to jump into a forced, awkward, intimate situation that people like to call dating. I don't like the feeling. You're sitting there, you're wondering, do I have food on my face? Am I eating? Am I talking too much? Are they talking enough? Am I interested? I'm not really interested. Should I play like I'm interested, but I'm not that interested, but I think she might be interested, but do I want to be interested, but now she's not interested? So now all of a sudden I'm starting to get interested. And when am I supposed to kiss her? Do I have to wait for the door? Because then it's awkward. It's like, well, good night. Do you do like the ass out hug? Where you like to, you hug each other like this and the ass sticks out because you're trying not to get too close. You just go right in and kiss them on the lips. Or don't kiss them at all. It's very difficult trying to read the situation. And all the while you're just really wondering, are we going to get hopped up enough to make some bad decisions? And perhaps play a little game called Just the Tip. Just for a second, just to see how it feels. Or, ouch, ouch, you're on my hair.
Okay.
Okay, can you put that so he can't see it? And thank you. Hey, Janice, great talk.
I just thought, like, why? Who else really can do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even, the dialogue's not even that great, really. If you saw it on the page, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be that great. You gotta.
No one else can do it like that without thinking, oh, he's doing a Vince Vaughn. He's doing a Vince Vaughn.
I mean, why does the Academy have to kind of just skim past so many good comedic performances?
Because if it was like an artsy movie, but a comedy, they'd be like, oh, we love this. But it's like too normal,
yes,
for them.
I know. It's too
If he got Alzheimer's in the middle of a scene like that, that would maybe get him an Oscar.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Borat from 2006.
Another great movie.
Who the fuck could do what he did? I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio gets it for Blood Diamond, or mm-hmm. gets nominated. Forrest Whitaker, Ryan Gosling, Half Nelson. Mm-hmm. But could any of those guys do what Sacha Baron Cohen did?
Not as well. They could try and do
it. And none of them have the balls to do it either.
I'm just saying, the guy doesn't have a crazy accent. Yep. That the whole thing was cooked up. I mean,
yep. A completely created character.
I'm just saying, what is a taller order? Is it Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness, mm-hmm. or is it Borat? Because there's one guy that can do Borat. There's probably other guys that can do Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah, if we went back and looked at all the best performances of the year, probably Borat rises to the top.
I just look at it as, can he do that? Mm-hmm. I believe Sacha Baron Cohen could do Will Smith's role version, but Will Smith can't do Borat.
You're right.
You take Daniel Day-Lewis and put him into Carrot Top Show in Vegas tonight, and he will bomb hard.
That's what I'm saying. I'll play you one more clip from Wedding Crashers. And by the way, Isla Fisher, who's married to Sacha Baron Cohen, could have got a nod for this movie, too.
This was like her breakout role.
She was fucking excellent in it.
Role.
This is the scene after Vince hooks up with Isla Fisher, and it turns out she's nuts and a virgin, and he's got to get out of this.
She's instantly in love.
And he's got to get out of the wedding, and Owen Wilson doesn't want to go.
I'm looking all over for you. I got to get out of here, Prano. I got a stage 5 clinger.
I need more time.
Did you hear what I just said to you? Stage 5 virgin clinger? Let's go. I'm going to start the car. I'm serious. Let's go. I don't think that you're appreciating the urgency here. Not only is she a virgin, she's totally off the reservation. I'm terrified of this broad.
There you are.
Hey, Gloria. Wow. What a coincidence. I was just singing your praises. This is John Ryan.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
So my family and a few friends were all going back to our little place on the shore, and it would be so great if you guys came.
Really?
Sounds sort of wonderful.
Oh, it does. It sounds very nice. But I'm flattered that you would even think of me to include me in something like that, Gloria. Thank you. It kills me, however, to have to tell you, I'm sorry. I won't be able to make it.
Why?
It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be so much fun.
I'm sure it will be fun for the people that are going. I unfortunately can't go. I don't have this monkey suit. I don't have any clothes.
No, we have everything you need.
Problem solved.
The problem's not solved.
Deal us in.
Oh, cool. I'm going to run it by my dad.
No, don't ask your dad. Don't.
No, the train's going. We got to get on.
Oh, that's terrific. Why don't you just feed me to the lions?
What?
Step on my head when I'm drowning. What a great friend. What do you mean, what? This is completely against the rules. You have a wedding and a reception to seal the deal. Period. There's no overtime.
Oh, no overtime?
No.
What about the Chang wedding 3 years ago?
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I forgot about that. 2 a.m. You drag me 50 miles to watch you and some chick play Mahjong with her grandmother at a retirement home?
Yeah, completely different situation.
How?
I mean, how? She was a very, very family-oriented girl, and she was very into her grandmother. They're very family-oriented.
Give me a break.
That was my first Asian.
Everyone turns.
That alludes that he had more Asians.
Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
These are, first of all, let's just watch the whole movie.
I know.
These are great scenes.
I've embarrassingly never seen it.
What?
I know.
You better lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
These are great scenes because they're so well written. They're expository. You learn so much about the plot, about the characters, about their motivations, their relationships, their backstory. But it's funny on top of that. It's well played and it's funny as well as being all of those things.
Yeah, I was just fucking laughing at Vince Vaughn like the entire movie and just thought, why is there no category for the guy who does the hardest, arguably the hardest form of acting?
Adam, you're not going to like this. I'm going to agree with you because I think it's like Harvey. I'll blame your good friend Harvey Weinstein. I think like the Oscars have been convinced that to get an Oscar nomination, you have to be an art film or someone has to have paralysis or someone has to be going through a disease. And it's not. It's like we used to nominate an Oscars like mainstream, you know, studio films, and that doesn't happen enough anymore.
Yeah.
They should have an ordinary category, shallow, like the shallow category.
Yeah, but shallow just, the pool. Just because something...
It's called the People's Choice Awards.
That's true, yeah.
Just because something made a lot of money or was mainstream, it's like, look, Nirvana sold a lot of records. Doesn't mean they sold out. They're still Nirvana, you know? The Beatles sold a lot of records. It's just people happen to buy their records. It doesn't mean the music's changed or is no good. Just because you sell a bunch of anything, tickets, records, what have you, doesn't mean that the art is any different or any lesser.
That's right. Well, it's the way it is with the Grammys. Those are all the biggest selling artists of the year for the most part, right?
Yeah, you know.
It's almost like for the Grammys, the worse the song, the higher the awards, right?
I can't listen to that sort of thing.
Sorry, I know you're the...
I drove from the Grammys to take this.
But those are big, big selling acts that are nominated.
But you know what I mean.
I like it. No, I
like the mainstream pop songs.
I embrace your right to be wrong.
When is the Grammys? When is that
it is
up?
February 8th on CBS, Adam, followed the Monday, the... 15th, no, the 16th, the following Monday is our Stevie Wonder Grammy tribute. Instead of the Beatles, we're doing Stevie Wonder. So that's what we're engaged in right now.
I feel like the jury's still out on Stevie Wonder. You want to give that a few more years to steep, you know, before
the tide's turning in his favor,
calling it. You don't want to jump the gun on that.
The tide's turning in his favor. I think people are starting to warm
but
up
he
to
can't
Stevie.
See the tide, though.
No, I'm going to call it for Stevie in his favor.
All right.
And there's one surprise coming up on the Grammy announcements that hasn't come up that you're going to be happy with, and I can say no more. It's not... the Jayhawks. It's not a Blues Traveler jam session, but there's something that you're going to want to be at, and
all
I'm going to make that happen for you.
Bald Brian, as long as we're talking about movies, why don't you get a little Bollywood queued up? I will give a little love to one of our fine sponsors, allballpro.com. I got one of these things. It's one of those rebound trainers, but it's a real one.
Oh, like a pitchback kind of thing.
Yeah, except for that one was made out of like thin wall, whatever, and you snapped it together, and there's a picture of Pete Rose next to it. But
mine broke within probably a few
I had
weeks.
One. It was orange. I had one when I was like 10, and it fell over the first time I threw a ball
No resistance whatsoever.
This thing is big. It is heavy duty. It is weatherproof. It is powder coated. It is UV protected. Nice. And my son, say to yourself, my son's out there. Sonny, you kick the soccer ball against it, but you go, but how do you do a football and get the football to come back at you? You can figure out the baseball and the soccer ball.
Can't be done.
They have a football that's sawed off. They have a football that is half a football, and it's flat on one side.
Tom Brady wants that football.
Tom Brady used that football.
He's using that football.
It's shaped like a ham?
Yeah. You basically just throw it against the thing, and it comes right back to you. The thing is so good that my son, I try to explain to my son, you're supposed to play with it when you're alone, right?
Yeah.
He'll put my daughter, Natalia, on one side in an angle, and he stands on the other side, and he bounce it off and bounce it to her. That's like the big, it's a big thing.
That's something.
It looks like, by the way, the football looks like Tom Dempsey's foot.
Yes.
If you can find a picture of the man who
held
the
topical reference. Timely.
Man held the record for longest field goal.
Half a foot, right?
In the NFL for about 35 years. That's right. Anyway, you get the kids off the iPads and the Xbox. You get them out there. This thing doesn't require assembly. It is heavy duty.
I deflated my son's balls by never getting him this until I'm going to get this on the way back.
It also kind of looks like an Asian woman's foot.
We're talking about Tom.
Sticks of a copy.
Special offer. You go to. When I was a little kid, or even as an adult, I said, like, wouldn't it be nice if they made, like, a real big wheel? Like a big wheel with ball bearings and rubber tires and, like, not just crappy plastic one. They've done that with the pitchback thing. And there's Dempsey's foot, and that's what it looks like. It looks like
the ball that passes back to you. All right. All right, Kristen, shall we do some news?
We shall.
The Adam Carolla Show. Your source for the news that matters.
So the
or random stories that piss Adam off.
So the New York City blizzard didn't live up to all the hype. New York City barely got a dusting of snow, but New England got hit really hard, and they're buried under 3 feet of snow currently. And a town in Nantucket actually was completely out of power and telephone service, but people are criticizing the meteorologists for bad information.
Well, you figure with satellites and Doppler radar and all that kind of stuff, they could get their shit together, or at least, look, don't be the little boy who cried snow, because I feel like because we don't have any real problems in this country, weather becomes something that we really grab onto with both hands. I can't imagine in other countries with real problems. By the way, it's the same weather every year. So with the occasional anomaly, it's not much of a news story. But because there's too long a news cycle and too many outlets, we have to turn everything into something. And we give it a name. Put maybe gate at the end of it, and then we just get just run with it, and everyone goes nuts. I mean, we'll do it over a flu or a disease that kills nobody in this entire country, and we'll be going at it 24/7. I don't know why we all fucking buy into it.
Is the name necessary for these storms?
Oh, you mean
like Juno or Katrina? And
yeah, I mean, you could just give them a number.
But the hurricanes, they're named.
Right, yeah, why? Like, do we need the name?
Who names them?
It doesn't seem necessary to have a name.
They come up the names a few years in advance, and they're alphabetical, and they're male and female, and if a storm is ever so big, they retire the name. There'll never be another Katrina again, for example.
Whoever came up with this idea just really wanted a baby. You couldn't have one.
By the way, has anyone ever thought about the fact that Katrina's backup band was called the Waves?
Oh,
weird.
Fucking A.
That's what sunk New Orleans, everybody. The backup band for Katrina and the Waves. Who knew a short 18 years later?
Those chickens are coming to roost.
All right, I'm looking at Denny Terrio here.
Well, yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
You were right.
Yep. John Travolta's rocking the Italian horn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah.
It's a good look.
Tony Manero.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you there was, if you find pictures of Iranians in the late 70s, they looked just like that. That was the outfit. I'm serious. Dudes were wearing that. And then revolution happened.
I picture that now for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But some of them would be like that with a beard.
All right.
It's very interesting.
You don't have to go on that scavenger hunt. By the way, the TSA is always watching. NSA, I don't want to be singled out when Gary's computer is going to get confiscated.
Yeah, Gary, save your time for the rational things Adam makes you search for.
That's right. That's right.
I'm throwing you under the bus here.
Well, somebody's overcompensating for not knowing what Italian horn was.
I know. Now they're playing catch up.
Claims to know movies, but yet one of the most famous of all time. Did not know. All right. Sorry. Anyway,
cool.
No snow. There
no
you
snow.
Go.
Yeah, but speaking of being bored, we are expecting a Beetlejuice 2.
Mm. Fuck yes.
Winona Ryder basically said it's going to happen.
Adam, you're always you just earlier talked about the comedic actors that don't get their due. Michael Keaton.
Right. No,
he's great.
He got some due.
Yeah.
Recently.
He's going to lose the Oscar to the guy from the Hawking movie, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So he's getting a little recent due. Mm-hmm. He stepped in some
redo.
Yes.
But he had to do kind of a serious part to get the due, though, right?
Right. But people forget, like, how great he was in Night Shift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Edible Paper.
Yes. Gary, you can look this up if you're done looking for Italian horns. if you want to get sickened, I think Ivan Reitman is working on Twins, the follow-up, but it's going to be Triplets.
No.
Yes, and it's like we're officially out of movie ideas. I just found this out today. All right, what else?
The third member of Triplets, I believe, is supposed to be Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy's going to be the third.
I'm back in.
And who are the two? It's going to be it's going to be Schwarzenegger and DeVito?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that's happening is, have you ever heard of the app Waze? It's a GPS app.
The Waze?
Don't call it the Waze. Gary gets pissed.
Yeah, I didn't say the Waze, did I?
No.
No. Okay. I do.
I would never say the Waze.
I do the Waze.
Oh, okay. Well, if you say it, I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, for people who don't know, it's a GPS app, and it tracks cars that are maybe pulled over on the shoulder, of course, traffic, and also cops.
Yes.
And so some cops are complaining that it's allowing cop stalking.
Mm-hmm.
And that it puts them in danger.
Oh, please.
The reason that they say this is because the guy who killed the cops in New York City back in December, Ishmael Brinsley,
mm-hmm.
He posted a picture on Instagram before he killed the cops of a screenshot of Waze. And he wrote hashtag Waze. And it was featuring two cops 3 miles away.
Right. So, look, first off, here's the city does this all the time. They come up with ways, pardon the pun, to remove money from us, and then they always hide behind safety. Mm-hmm. So we have a super archaic speed limit of 65 or 55 when everyone's modern car is capable of going 85 with no problem at all. But it's 55 saves lives. That's all they're talking about. So it's always about safety. And, you know, then it comes to something like Uber. And you go, oh, well, Uber's greatest plan ever. Well, cool your jets. Cool your jets. These guys are totally unregulated. They need to get regulated. They need to get regulated for safety purposes, or you motherfuckers just need some money.
Yeah.
Just say it. Just call it what it is. Somebody's out there making money and we're not fucking wetting our beaks? What's going on? Like, the city of Los Angeles is number one in this fucking shitty billboard chart of what's going on. Well, somebody had an idea. Yeah. Well, it was a good idea. Yeah. Well, it's making a shitload of money. Yeah. Well, don't worry. You're getting a whole bunch of tax revenue from it. We like a little more money. What could we do? Ooh, it's not safe. Right? It's not safe. These guys aren't. By the way, anyone who's ridden in a cab, these things have been around the world 70 times. This fucking suspension is shot. The guys from I don't know what country where they don't have cars. Don't tell me the fucking cab drivers any safer than the chick picking you up in the newish SUV. But either way, they got to fucking wet their beak. And
if
what
you're really
they
concerned
do
about safety, put some goddamn seatbelts on the school buses.
Well, fucking A or yeah. Goddamn headrest in a school bus so the kids don't get whiplash. You don't give a fuck about safety. You do give a fuck about money, but you can't just come out and say we want money because that makes you what you are, which is people that extract money from the people who you claim to serve. So instead, you hide behind safety. Well, officers, yeah, officers what? The ones that are hiding under the fucking overpass trying to hand out chicken shit tickets with their fucking radar gun. Those are the guys who get put up on Waze. So you're trying to fucking ring us up? Well, we're ringing you up, bitch. And that's what you get. Now, if you're out on fucking patrol and you're doing your thing, then you're not on Waze. Or, sorry, the Waze. Mm-hmm. I use Waze and I go traveling down the 210 or wherever I'm going and I see the cops where they're hiding trying to write chicken shit tickets.
Yep.
So if you didn't do that, then you could avoid this.
It'd be very safe.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with they're scared they're going to be killed. It has to do with that they can't write their chicken shit tickets.
How about this? I'll flip the script on you. I would like to know where the nearest cop is. I'm in trouble. Okay, I'm going to Waze. Mm-hmm. Good, there's some guys parked
far
down the
more
street.
Likely than right. And, yeah. To kill
and
a cop.
I would say 99.99999% of people are not using Waze to kill cops.
No.
I'm just trying to get home faster.
Ideally.
That's all I'm trying to. And they used to have that meter, the little, you put the, remember they had the little cop detector before anyway? So you could get one of, there's a million ways to find cops. By the way, just find the guys in the uniforms. I mean, that's not that hard. Like, this guy was in New York City. If he drove around long enough, he would have found some cops.
There's cops riding on horses everywhere. If you want to shoot one, you can shoot one.
This is like begging for a bad donut store shop joke.
Yeah.
Like they're
I miss those. I miss those. Anyway, look, you guys try to get money out of us, and what happens is there's a rebellion. We start coming up with ways to get around it. I have a radar detector in my car because I have a car with 550 horsepower and stability control and speed rated tires and anti-lock brakes, and it's perfectly safe for me to go 80 miles an hour on the deserted 2 freeway when I'm coming home at night. So I have a radar detector. Other people use Waze. Look, it's there because you guys decide to go the chicken shit route, so fuck you.
And the thing is with Waze is that it's not generated the way I think is like a radar detector would generate the cop the knowledge of the cop, it's user generated. So if someone doesn't see the cop and they don't type it down, then no one knows the cop is there. So it's not like it's getting all the cops all the time.
Again, it's safety when it's more about revenue and them hiding behind safety, which fucking drives me nuts.
Right.
But Uber, they were molested. Weren't they like touching, not molesting, but like a couple of Uber drivers were like raping.
I'm getting in the wrong Uber
cars. There was a couple. Did you hear about that? Like in a couple places, the Uber guys were like trying to rape the customers. Did you?
Oh, really?
No. Surge pricing, man.
This is the
surge
point.
Pricing.
This is the point I'm trying to make. No, wait a minute.
I swear to God.
Look, whatever the profession, if there's going to be a handful of there was a movie called Taxi Driver.
Yeah, there was.
I think, and then a really bad movie called Taxi. Different. But either way, there is going to be bad cops, bad city officials, bad firemen, bad
taxi drivers.
There's going to be bad doctors. There's dentists who put you under and try to fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
That only happened twice to me. Right. Two different guys. We're talking about unlucky. But either way.
But did he give you the filling? Did he give you the filling?
Oh, yeah.
A different type of filling. Yeah.
Give me the Italian horn. The point is, there shall be bad preschools. There shall be bad cops. There shall be people who want to kill cops. There shall be bad Uber drivers. And I guarantee more bad taxi drivers than Uber drivers. Either way, doesn't mean we do away with taxis, Uber, fire departments, or whatever the bad is. Yeah. You weed out the bad eggs and get rid of them. All right. This kind of stuff always, the part that pisses me off is the safety part. It's insulting that they hide behind safety. They should just go, fuck it. Just bring back the fucking policeman's ball already. Yeah. Just sell tickets. Raise money that way. All right. What else you got?
This one you will love. The two dermatologists told BuzzFeed that Americans shower way more than necessary.
What?
Which you already knew, clearly.
I fucking never stopped screaming about it.
Adam's dragging down the average, though.
I'm helping. I haven't washed my hair in 5 days.
Me neither. Same.
I like when people... I love it when there's like a daytime talk show and all the chicks get completely grossed out when somebody doesn't shower every day. Like, like first off, I didn't just enter a racquetball tournament and then not shower. I'm just fucking walking around in an air-conditioned building in a cubicle all day. I used to get dirty for a living. I'd dig ditches, do roofing, strip a roof, whatever. Get out there and sweat through your shirt and get in the fucking muck. Like, that's one thing. Now I don't do anything all day. I just fucking walk around my warehouse in my sweatpants. I don't really need to do it.
How often do you shower?
I shower. Here's my shower. My shower lasts about 75 seconds, and it is hot water over me, and that is it. Occasionally, a little shot of shampoo around the sack just to freshen it up.
Nice.
But... probably 3 or 4 times a week, depending on skipping rope and exercise and if I'm working up a lather or not. But I literally just get in, run the hot water, rinse myself off with the hot water, get out, and walk out.
How about in your boxing days?
Just rinse off.
So not you weren't showering more than
I would. If I sweat and just literally drench myself with sweat, I just rinse myself off and get about it.
And you go deodorant and cologne? Is that what you do?
I don't do the deodorant's a little hit and miss, and the cologne is never.
Never? You're Italian, no cologne.
I only the only time.
Great story.
the only time I'll use cologne is if I'm going to the barber. And I haven't showered
in a
few
days. You have someone to impress.
No, but I know your fucking hair just kind of smells like... I mean, I got a big pube patch on top of my head, you know? And I know it's going to smell like if I eat Hungarian food the day before, my fucking head's going to smell like paprika.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a shot of cologne just to kind of take the edge off it. Just as a little courtesy to the Mexican ladies doing the work for $12. Yeah. Come on, I don't want to put her through hell.
Yeah, but, I don't shower that much. And when like the whole thing of the drought was going on, I just came off as like a really good person.
Yeah. Yeah, the notion that everyone needs to scrub the shit out of themselves and put the shampoo on and then do the conditioner, it's just it's too much.
I get in there with the kids. You ever go in there with the kids? You ever take your
kids? Not my kids, but other kids, yeah, sure. You know, other young kids in the community.
That was a very Iranian question of you to ask.
Yeah, we'll just put the wheelchair right into the shower. I'll sit down next to him. It's no big deal. It's not totally sexual. There are other components of it, you know. There's a conversation that's not, you know, it's not all sexual is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, it's all a lot of eye contact.
There's eye contact. Yeah. There's knowing nods. It's not a completely sexual experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're not all handicapped. That's just the majority of them are. Yeah. Don't you think I'm a monster is what I'm saying.
You have safe words. That's what you're saying. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, no, I will. My son, who's 8, was in the shower the other day for like 20 minutes.
Daniel is huge.
Yeah, and he's still washing his hair after 20 minutes. I'm just like, would you just rinse yourself the fuck off and get out of there? You're going to be in your jammies in a second, and you're 8. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You'll shower another day.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Brian, what are you? What's your shower regimen?
Oh, very boring. I mean, obviously, no shampoo in the house. Not for me anyway. But
right.
Once a day, bar soap. I do use a, because I have much exposed skin and cancer, I do use the SPF in my head, so it got to come off. So a little facial cleanser, a little bar soap.
Pretty facial simple. Cleanser.
Yeah, I got to get the SPF off my head, you know, to keep the sun off and the UV rays.
Every day
shit.
You do SPF every day?
Well, I have cancer, and I do want...
Oh,
I,
you
I,
have cancer.
I do, and I want to keep the UV rays, you know, more susceptible, obviously.
What about a ball cap, considering you're bald and you're doing the I would...
Ball cap Brian.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is...
I'm just not much of a... I guess.
Well, no, but first off, you're married.
Right.
Who fucking gives a shit? You're not attracting the ladies over the fucking Stater Brothers in Arcadia. Who gives a fuck?
Wait, who gives a fuck about what? The hat?
Yeah, I'm just saying put a ball cap on and you don't have to slather the shit on your head.
Being bald is an excuse to become a hat guy. Did you know this?
Is this true?
Oh, yeah. I've bought a few hats myself. I haven't gotten that deep in yet, but you should try it.
All right.
Fucking Italian
I got the
guys
hats.
With your hands.
I got the hats.
Put the hat on.
Forget about it.
You got teams, right?
Yeah, I'll wear a hat a day for the next week. How about that?
Please.
Okay.
I'm picturing you putting the bird shit on top of your head and trying to rub it all in. And I'm thinking, then you got a shower and it's coming off and it's stinging your eyes. Put the ball cap on.
Okay. You could do like the paperboy cap. There's all kinds. It doesn't have to be a team. You could go in a different looks.
That's all that hipster, though, isn't it? With the page boy and with the derby
just
and all that
go
stuff.
Just don't go French beret. That's all.
Okay.
Stay away from the beret.
You're saying ball cap.
Yeah, you like USC, right?
I got a couple USC caps.
Well, why don't you show a little team pride?
Sure, can do.
All right.
And that was Kristen Carney filling in for News back in 2015. She did it again later that year. Dr. Drew was also guest on that same episode, so we thought we'd play you a little bit more. And make sure to follow Kristen Carney on Twitter. She's very funny. But anyway, this clip from 2015.
Adam Carolla Show, 1567. Dr. Drew, Christian Piccolini, Kristen Carney, Brian Bishop. This is from May of 2015. We get a little chunk of Dr. Drew. We get a little bit of Kristen's news. Nice little supercut of a classic episode. Check it out.
Kristen Carney sitting in for Gina Grant. Good to see you, Kristen.
A little less boobage in the room, but I'm still confident.
All right. I'm not. Dr. Drew is just hanging out because Dr. Drew and I were hanging out, and he's going to hang out.
Why not?
And happy birthday to Gina Grant, by the way, and Bold Brian.
I've met a lot of jokers, but I only met one ace.
I mean, could there be any other one for today's top drop?
All right. So, Dr. Drew, you can hear our show on this network if you like. You can see him on HLN. You can hear Loveline and all that good stuff. Drew has things to talk about.
Yeah,
Brian and I have things to talk about.
Yes.
And before we do, I just thought to myself, I think what I do now is becoming a ringtone. Is that in there somewhere? I've not heard it since I uttered the words. What I do now.
All of my phone's blowing up.
What I do now.
You quit. That's what you do.
God damn it.
All right. So we got the fight to discuss, of course.
Yeah.
And we have Dr. Drew had something that he wanted to talk about.
We ran out of time. You and I, we were talking about sociopaths and people that are what you owe people and what pay. And you started talking about sometimes there's just a bad lot. You know, sometimes there's a dog that's born with a little something that just ends up being...
We do a lot of, you know, this person didn't get what they needed growing up, but there is a lot. Let's put it this way. If a percentage of men can be born who are really women trapped inside a man's body, there can be a percentage of people that are just fucking bad.
Yeah.
Not the same group. What I'm saying is we have the capacity to literally, Bruce Jenner was born with the wrong genitalia.
Yeah.
I don't think you can blame society or his parents or the town he grew up in or his guidance counselor. That just is.
Yeah.
So if we can wrap our minds around a percentage of people that are born that need sexual reassignment surgery.
Certainly then
we can agree that there's a certain amount of people that are born that really just need to be put down. Like, and I just said, like a dog, like just sorry, you're broken.
That's a logical conclusion.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to figure out the role the school to prison pipeline plays in all this, but I'm not sure.
Stay on message.
Okay. Well said. So my point was that there's a guy out at, strangely enough, Irvine, a guy named, and strangely enough, last name is Fallon, Dr. Fallon. He's a professor out there that was studying psychopaths. Okay. Mm-hmm. And psychopaths are like a severe sociopath.
I think sociopathic is thrown around a lot by people who don't think know what it means. Fundamentally,
it's somebody who really has no empathy, who really only uses other people for their own benefit.
Do they know they're doing it, or is this just how they are?
Both. It could be either way. Okay. People argue about what a psychopath is. I believe a psychopath is a different thing. Dr. Fallon, I think, would argue the same thing. Some people say psychopaths are just severe sociopaths. But psychopaths have certain characteristics, like they tend to torture dogs, animals when they're kids or kittens, and they are really bad empathic failure, and they get violent, and they hurt people. Those are the people that kill people easily. I mean, they do that. And he had discovered on functional MRIs and whatnot, the certain maybe spec scans, there are certain regions of the brain that are different in the psychopaths, true psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was studying them, and he was flipping through their MRIs, and he's doing this thing, and he needed a whole group of controls too. And so he was flipping through the controls, just really sort of scanning the results.
He had the normal people,
the controls. Right. So he could, see the difference between a normal person, so-called, and a psychopath. And he comes along and goes, geez, we found out there's a psychopath in the group. Didn't know it. Thought he was a normal person. Looks at his scan.
Ooh.
Oh.
That phone call's coming from inside the house.
Inside the MRI machine.
And he is a really interesting person to talk to now. He goes, I do have some weird things. For instance, if you're close to me, you're a family member or something, you're fucked because I don't really care about you.
Is he putting this out there? He's going to lose some patients, isn't he?
No, but he's really a researcher.
He's not that kind of doctor.
Yeah.
He killed all his patients.
Can he it's more of a Hannibal Lecter kind. I would sort of argue that the reason he was attracted to this research is because of something that he may have not known on a conscious level, or maybe even a conscious level.
Well, he knew something was weird about him, and so in whatever, maybe that attracted him to weird people because he could identify with them, or people that lacked empathy, whatever. I've never spoken to him about that issue, but I've talked to him about what's different about him. And he says he can't – if you're really close to him, you're in big trouble because he loses empathy. Strangely, he can empathize with people he doesn't know that well better. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And he said in adolescence he became hyper-religious. Hyper-religious. And in retrospect, he feels like that may have been sort of a compensation for how weird and empty and disconnected he felt from humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And he also felt that somehow that helped him, that it made him be productive and appreciative. It somehow got him through – it was an adaptation that really kind of helped him a little bit so he didn't turn out to be somebody awful.
Mm. I just came up with a good way to get rid of these people because – speaking of hyper-religious, I'm pure atheist.
Sure.
And if I just feel like you kill somebody or you're going to harm some kids or you're going to go shoot up a school or whatever, I just want you killed. So I'll just do the functional MRI thing. We take the MRI machine, we make it into an MRI oven.
Oh.
A gas chamber. And we're going to give you a scan. And if that thing starts going off like a pinball machine, the fuck, we just shut
reverse
the hatch.
The waves.
We just, and the gas just starts going in and,
Well, Adam Hitler.
That's right.
Well, this is an interesting conversation.
I like Adolf Carolla, but go ahead.
for the guy you're going to have, the guest you're having follow me, right?
Yeah.
He may be or he may know within that organization he was in.
Hitler Youth, yeah.
Okay.
The opposite of a sociopath is a guy who would bring a cap for a growler.
Oh, that's Christy forgot to put that on the growler.
Well, we know we know it had to be her. Well, it would not be you. But yeah. I don't know if a growler cap is.
How's a growler?
Growler is a jug of beer.
Ah.
You've seen them before.
It's probably the greatest invention ever. First off, it's got the greatest name ever, growler.
Seems apt for, you know, someone's going to growl after that. Brian, drink too much beer.
Brian showed up with two growlers to watch the Pacquiao fight last night.
I only had
night.
Two hands.
Very nice. And
meaning he would have showed up with more had he had more hands.
Right.
Okay. I've been blessed with more hands. Beer carrying.
I went to the sink. I went to the other shop to tidy up today. And I saw the growler cap sitting around the sink area, and I thought, well, I don't know if Brian reuses those. The first thought was, Brian's a really responsible guy, so if he left the cap behind, then the thing has no use. Because why would he leave it behind? But then my second thought was, it could not hurt to rinse it out and put it in my pocket for when I see Brian, I can return it to him.
Now, here's what happened. You, wisely, once the first growler was done, took it out of the cooler, put it by the sink, so as people would not pick up an empty growler and try and pour it.
What happens is if people empty the fucking container, which is light, barely passes through it, it's heavy because it's made it's dark brown, it's thick glass. And then they proceed to put it back in the cooler, which then everyone else then reaches for the cooler, finds out it's empty, and then puts it back in the cooler again. I'm the mad person who goes, let's get it out of the mix. Let's take it to the sink and rinse it out. We'll set it there.
That's it. Step two was not just taking it out.
Crazy, I tell you.
Taking the top off and rinsing it out. Smart move, because it had that skunky beer in it. What happened was, when Christy was like, all right, time to go, let's get everything together. People were cleaning up, and we're grabbing our stuff and taking our bottles out. She just grabbed the growler, because it was dark, not realizing the cap wasn't on it. And we got home, I was like, no cap. Too bad. Must be thrown out.
Right.
No, lo and behold, there it is.
Lo and behold.
Thanks, buddy.
There's your cap. Life doesn't have to be that difficult.
No.
But it is for a lot of people.
What'd you think of this? Is an IPL, an India Pale Lager. You like that one, right?
Yes. That's extra nummy. So we had a good time last night. We watched the fight. I got emails. I was telling Drew. I got two emails from Jimmy at 11:54 yesterday a.m. and 11:56. One was Learjet, but I mean probably something nicer than a Learjet. It was a picture of an empty seat, leather seat.
Nicer than a Learjet?
It was a big private jet. He took the picture of empty seat and said that's where you should have been. And then there's another picture he sent of everyone in the plane flipping me off. All the good guys.
What a guy.
going to the fight.
So brutal.
What a chum.
Yeah. So I was here working my audio book yesterday. Saturday. Thank you, Dawson. Those guys were on their way to the fight. So that was brutal.
I waited for you, man.
But I have at the other warehouse, I had a like sort of mini theater kind of put in with like a screen that comes down and retracts and all that kind of stuff. Because
it wasn't so mini.
Yeah.
It was a very, very, very large screen.
A nice screen and a nice sound system because... I realize as I start making these movies, we're bringing automotive press over there to screen the Newman documentary and stuff like that. You don't have to hire out a theater, which is not cheap and a projectionist and blah, blah, blah. So I'll put it on site and we're having a couple screenings for like automotive journalists where they'll come to us and they'll watch it. Well, I thought, well, why not watch the fight on that? And it was not easy to do. I won't bore you with the details, but the fight did go off.
There were several texts and emails from Matt Fondelier regarding whether or not this was happening. Yes and no was bandied about both frequently.
Yes.
He was at the Greek Theater watching the Decembrists.
And who?
Septembrists? Decembrists?
The Decembrists. Drew was right the first time.
Okay. The point is we worked it out. Everyone showed up. Brian brought the growlers, and we had some... a teachable moment here, there's this pizza joint that I figured out that's on Wilshire Boulevard. It's called Apollonia's, and I love the shit out of that. That's the place.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Phil,
pizza was suggested, and then it never happened.
The reason it never happened is my fault, and these are teachable moments.
Okay. Will never happen again.
And will never happen again, which is this. Nate lives on that side of town, and I knew Nate was coming. Okay. So I'd worked out the part where I was going to order the pizza. He was going to pick it up for me and drive it over onto this
what
side
could
of
possibly
town.
Go wrong?
And I was going to pay for said pizza. Now I thought to myself, I had a fleeting thought, big fight night. I bet they're going to be busy.
Yeah. Super Bowl-esque.
Yes. But then I also thought, well, how do you order pizza 3 hours in advance? Like yeah. They're going to be busy, but I wasn't sure enough. Came time to call them. I had Nate was going to pick it up at 6. I called them about 5:20 to order the pizza, and they're like, we're 3 hours behind.
Oh, wow.
Or they're like, they said the soonest anyone could pick up a pizza is about 7:30 at night. And I should have listened to this little part of me that said, it's going to be busy. I should call in earlier. Mm-hmm. But I did the quick math, and like, how do you order pizza 3 hours before you come pick it up?
You should order sushi, because not a lot of sushi eaters are going to be watching a fight.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You got to go opposite quiche. Food style. Yeah.
I want a wheel of quiche.
No, sushi's going all the way.
I want a wagon wheel of quiche. So we did not do that. We ended up with In-N-Out Burger, which...
nothing wrong with that.
Nobody ever...
That was a good mistake.
Nobody ever complains about...
someone complained.
No.
Sonny did not quite get the burger he wanted.
Oh.
He didn't end up with the burger he wanted. There was lettuce or... he doesn't like lettuce or something.
I don't fucking know. Fuck that.
Everyone loved the burger.
Christian, we'll hang out, crack-wise. We'll do a little news, shall we?
Yeah, we
with,
shall.
With Kristen Carney.
Oh, here we go.
Cool.
The Adam Carolla Show, your source for the news that matters, or random stories that piss Adam off.
So Tesla announced a home battery that will be available called Powerwall. It's going to be available to purchase today, actually, and then it will be delivered this summer if you order this soon.
Well, I just got a Tesla. Now, what do you do with the power?
But this is for everything in your house that requires power.
Yeah.
Right?
So basically what it does is it stores energy when the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So it will cut your cost by about 25%, according to the Tesla people.
So this thing will store energy and then will power computers, lamps, television sets, or whatever.
Yes.
And it'll do it. Interesting. So you'll be off the grid, so to speak, in that period of time. And is it about doing it during leaner, like, they have peak times and all that kind of stuff. So it's like this thing would probably recharge itself in the wee hours of the morning or something when usage was down and maybe the rates were lower too. And then it fires up when...
Yeah, it's essentially when rates are lower. That's when it's supposed to be the most active.
You mentioned when the sun goes. Is it solar powered?
I don't think that's. I think it's hardwired. I'm just looking at it. It looks like it's just hardwired into the house, and it's just basically a battery that your house. Oh, God knows, but.
Well, it makes sense. Most people are doing things when they're home from work, obviously, at night and in the morning, and the sun's...
Right.
It stores power from solar panels, windmills, and other things like that.
Okay. Oh, it does.
That's what I was getting
at. Is it not also from your house's power?
I don't believe so.
What would be the advantage if it was? Oh, because non-peak versus peak usage? Like, more expensive versus cheaper?
Yes, and... I don't know, because it's the first time I ever thought of it. It may do it in a way that is more efficient somehow. But I'm guessing, I was thinking it's the peak thing. But so, Gary, what do you know?
Yeah, it's basically what you're saying. It allows you to turn on the battery and use it when the peak electricity prices are being used. And then you would use your normal electricity from the electricity company at the lower cost times. But if you have things like solar panels and stuff at your house, it'll store it based on that. And if you've got enough of it, you can end up selling your power back to the power company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to lower costs. And then it's also sort of like a generator. So if the power goes down, you've still got your battery.
Christian told me those power guys are always trying to chew you down on the wattage.
Yeah, I don't have any terms.
Of course,
it's
power and it's a white battery.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
White power.
White power in the house. So, in everyone's home.
Now, Gary, is this thing, how I can I don't know how this thing works. You must have to run it to the panel or something. Like, I'm just taking what I know about.
Oh yeah, it's hardwired into your electric panel.
Uh huh. So I mean, it's a pretty interesting thing. I've been saying this for years. Let fucking Elon Musk just handle everything.
Yep. His name sounds like a cologne.
It does. Yeah. A great smelling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
True.
I'd like to meet the guy who invented Canoe. Mm-hmm.
What is Canoe?
It's cologne. Cologne.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I think there'd be a lot of conversations going, is there currently a fragrance just called Canoe? No. Well, why are we going with two?
Yeah.
And according to your logic, why not Canoe?
Yeah,
why not
does three? End?
And that guy, well, please, that's silly.
That's ridiculous.
You're gilding the lily. Two canoes.
Yeah. That's what people respond to.
It was called Canoe. I don't know.
I didn't ever seen Canoe.
We'll find it. The point is, look, I seriously mean it. I've said this a million times. We act like, well, Elon will handle the transportation and the hypertube and the power thing, and then we'll get Mayor Garcetti will handle the real problems or whatever. Like, yeah. How about we get a smart guy to do everything? Right. How about we'll
work
just
top down?
We'll just show whatever. Here's my dream. My dream is we just find the smartest guy who's Elon. And we just start throwing problems at him, and then he just starts fucking
with solutions.
Get him and Richard Branson together.
Right.
And then
Bill
just
Gates
go,
can come if he wants
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you go, well, here's, we got a problem with the school system. All right, here's what we do.
Yep.
We have
the
a bunch
of learned people.
Yeah, we have a bunch of fucking. We had a guy, Antonio Villaraigosa, one of the dumbest guys on the planet, running one of the biggest cities on the planet for like 8 years. Mm-hmm. That hardly seems like a plan
yes.
to me.
Plan fail.
Let's have Elon run it.
Do you have insane mode on your Tesla? That button where you can just go fucking crazy fast?
That's only on the Ds.
Yeah, I got my wife the like lower one because I'm like 0 to 60, 5.9 is quick enough for you.
Just me driving it is the insane mode because I'm just crazy.
Yeah, because
in
maybe Elon Musk is working with the Baltimore police and he installed like an insane mode button on them.
Well, I'm all for whatever Elon can do, but sure. Like I said, just point him in any direction and any problem, and he shall solve it. All right,
I'll get one of those.
Well, this one's for very apropos for our guest. There's a new thing going around called the Eric Shepard Challenge, which is stomping on the American flag and basically proclaiming your hate for the country. And it's basically being done by mostly black youth right now. And so this is a woman whose video I think is the most popular.
Hold on. Can I say this, black community? Can we get back to twerking, please? This is not what we need at this time.
Never thought I'd hear
you
say that.
You always twerk on
sense.
The flag.
All right.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something really new, though? I feel like people have been doing it since the flag was made.
No, well, this is all kind of... prompted by the outrage of the Baltimore thing and the Ferguson thing. And so the videos are coming up every now and then, but in this most famous one, she jumped up and down on the flag and said, "Fuck yo flag. America's upside down." So this is like the new thing.
Mm. All right. Well, that's going to solve all the problems.
Yeah. Well,
family.
I can't believe anyone who wears hoop earrings could hate America. Just doesn't seem.
Those are big.
Hoop earrings are so America.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm sure this is going to solve all our problems. And do we get to see the video, or is she just, jumping on the flag?
She just jumps. Yeah.
Listen, other countries have been, you know, doing this for a long time. I was just having a funny conversation with my wife. I don't know how it came, but I did this bit a million years ago when I was doing Kevin and Bean, which was other countries would always take to the street. They would burn American flags and whatever president.
Yeah, an effigy.
Yeah. And they would chant anti-American slogans. And I said, we don't have any other country anti-slogans, really. We got, hey, fuck you, douchebag, but we don't really have slogans, you know? And I said, look, in case trouble breaks out, but that's how you know you're number one, because you don't even, like, well, who?
Yeah,
like,
who's your rival?
We're basically the fucking, We're the prom queen who doesn't even know who these other countries are. Sure. Like, we can't find you on the map. Forget about slogans. That burn precious calories. We're too busy fucking and sitting in hot tubs and inventing new flavors of sports drinks to come up with anti-whoever you are slogans. We don't even know who you are.
we need to know the name first.
I came up
harboring neo-Nazis.
I had these slogans that I came up with, and it was a million years ago, but my wife reminded me of them, and I don't know, one popped up on some TV show or something. But anyway, it was, the ones I can remember was,
Chad was starting with Chad.
I got a retarded cousin named Chad. There was,
that's the slogan you chanted in the show. Hey, low-hanging fruit, man. Chad's right there.
Canada was...
Chad first, then Canada.
I had to move it around.
Yeah.
Canada was, we gave you acid rain, you gave us Alan Thicke. I think we got screwed. the one that cracked my wife up, and always cracked me up too, was Uruguay. What? You're gay?
Yeah.
That's what we... And I think Niger was you're 1G away from a good ass kick.
Wow, and edgy stuff.
Oh my God.
Well, my argument was, let's be prepared and let's be on the same page that in case we need to take to the streets and start chanting, we'll be in unison. We're not going to be all fucking going cowboy on our chants. The whole thing about a chant is you need to be on the same page. It's called a chant. Can't all be doing your own shit.
Can't we go in different directions?
Right. Yep. So if we're doing Uruguay.
So for when Niger gets involved in a terror hostage crisis, we'll be
fine. Uruguay, whatever. We need to do it. Okay. All right.
And that'll do it for Corolla Classics today. I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a clip request, just email us, classics@adamcorolla.com. You can also tweet us @GiovanniGiorgio, @ChrisLoxamana. We're on Instagram, Facebook. Find us online. Let us know what you want to hear. And also, I want to remind everybody again, right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15%.
Give that RV policy.
Oh, that's right. Gio, you love the RV policy.
Right, it's my favorite part of what Geico offers and their suite of products.
Oh, yeah. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save that extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right. Corolla Classics returns tomorrow. So make sure to subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed, and you'll get our special Sunday episode. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.